Two trucks having sex. Two trucks having sex. My muscles involuntarily flex. Two trucks having sex. Two trucks having sex. My muscles involuntarily flex. Two pickup trucks making love.
Auto Thoughts and Decepticlowns, you're listening to Prime Cuts, a non-linear history of the Transformers franchise on television. I'm one of your hosts, Audrey.
I'm your other host, Nero.
And we finished Earthspark, and damn, it popped.
It's really good. This is the only show so far that neither of us have had any previous experience with, because obviously it's so new.
And I'm sure Beast Machines, the other one that we're going to watch, will also exceed our expectations.
Yeah, well, I've never seen Red 2001 either, so, you know.
Really?
No, I have not.
I haven't seen it the whole way through, but I for sure saw some of the episodes.
I remember one of the first Transformers toys I had before I even knew what a Transformer was Grimlock from the Red 2001 line, which is a very interesting one, because that is one of the only times Grimlock is not a dinosaur. He's part of the Construct-a-Bot team, I guess, the build team. This ain't about her. This ain't about Red 2001. This is about Earthspark.
Yeah. So I guess, like, as per usual, we'll start with our general impressions. Holy shit. Good show, huh?
Really pleasantly surprised, because, all right, let me tell you I think we probably had very similar initial responses to the announcement and the sort of general style of Earthspark, right? Where I was like, oh, is this another, like, RID 2015 situation where they're going skewing way younger, like not quite a Rescue Bots thing, but maybe a little bit of a Rescue Bots thing? This is a weird idea. I don't know if they're going to be able to pull it off. I don't know if there's going to be anything in here for me. Is that also what you kind of thought when it was first getting rolled out?
I honestly don't think I thought that much about it. Mm-hmm. I think I actually... My engagement with the Transformers fandom is fairly self-contained. So I'll start by saying that, which is that most of my interaction with Transformers as both a franchise and a fandom is through fan fiction. I don't, like, follow Transformers news, like, accounts. I don't go to any of the TF cons. I'm not, like, an industry expert. I follow some fan artists who I think keep up much better with news than I do. But I didn't actually really hear anything about Earthspark, I think, until it was already airing. Like, I think the first thing I actually heard about it was the reactions from people who were watching it. And those were all... very positive.
That's funny, because I am a little bit more plugged in when it comes to Transformers, which means I follow, like, three accounts. I follow, like, the Crazy Ass Moments and Transformers History account. Right. I follow the TF Wiki account. And, like, that's about it. So I get, like, a background radiation of news, right? I kind of get introduced to that stuff through them. But I did not hear anything about Earthspark for a very long time. I was just not, like, following people. I don't follow a lot of people in the fandom space. I'm almost like an inverse of you, where I'm like, I stay up on the shows.
I don't follow many people. I just consume as a lurker.
Right. But, like, I stay up on the toys and, like, the new shows and comics, like, kind of in the background, but I don't actually engage in a lot of fandom stuff. But I did not hear anything. I basically heard nothing about Earthspark for a very long time. I think because for a very long time it was relegated to a streaming service that not that many people have. And people were
right.
Kind of
it
confused.
Was on Paramount, right?
It was on Paramount Plus, and also it had a kind of a weird staggered release, where like half of it came out and then there was like a 8-month gap or something.
Yeah, I mean, that's not so weird. No. Especially for, especially these days with streaming and all people doing like seasons in two parts. That's actually not so strange, particularly for a season that has 26 episodes.
Fair enough. I think actually,
but it was on Paramount Plus, which no one has, so yes. that was a contributor to its
so unless you were sailing the high seas, you probably didn't see it. I know it started airing on,
or Nick. Unless you're rich and still had cable somehow.
Yeah, I think it started airing on Nick like much later. I think it only started airing on Nick fairly recently.
I think it was about a year later, which is, yeah, like a sizable amount later.
I think it only started airing after all of it had come out on Paramount.
Yeah, that's the other thing. I think there were like 4 episodes left on Paramount before it started airing. Right.
God, that's something. That's the weird part. That was the weird part.
That's pretty bizarre. The way that they staggered chunk. It between Paramount and Nick is very weird. And also probably did not help its numbers, but it doesn't matter because it got renewed. Tee. Yep.
I only knew a few things about it going in. Like I said, my immediate, I fell into the trap of initial reactions to Transformers Animated, right? Where, yeah, when that was first revealed, everyone thought it was going to be dumb shit for babies. But it turned out to be cool. And Earthspark, similarly, I was like, oh, is this, what is this? I don't really get the vibes here. But now I understand. I apologize, Transformers Earthspark. I didn't understand your game. I wasn't familiar with your game. I didn't know you'd explode a woman.
I mean, they kind of like imploded a woman, actually.
Yeah,
she kind of dissolved from the inside out.
That's true. She got the 86 Prowl treatment a little bit.
Explosion implies a very quick,
true,
violent death. That was not quick.
But yeah, Earthspark. Funnily enough, the first stuff I saw about Earthspark was the fucking culture warriors getting riled up about the non-binary robot. I was like, wait, they got a non-binary character on the show? Okay, hang on.
Really? So the first thing I think I actually saw about Earthspark that wasn't just sort of like random reactions. The first thing that was like, that I actually had like, I mean, I didn't have context for it, but was the Optimus and Megatron versus Skywarp and Nova Storm fight.
Yeah. I mean, that
someone just clipped it and I like saw that and I was like, oh, hi, I'm interested in this show.
Hold up. But did he just do a fusion cannon powered choke slam? Okay.
It was also, again, in the lack of context of anything else about Earthspark, because I wasn't like plugged into industry news at all. It was also like, so first of all, it was like one of the coolest fight scenes I'd ever seen. But it was also Megatron and Optimus fighting together. And I was like, oh, yeah, what's going on in this neck of the woods?
Yeah, hey. I also, yeah, that was the other thing I knew was like later after I'd learned about Transformers caught peddling dem woke agenda, one of the greatest posts in Tumblr history.
You can't have giant robots anymore because of woke.
The other thing I saw was like, yeah, they had Optimus and Megatron on the same team. I was like, now that's an interesting spin. That was when I really started to be like, okay, hang on.
They and specifically like post-war, right? Like we have like the trailer for Transformers 1 coming out, and there's all this stuff across the franchise about Megatron and Optimus being friends, like really close friends before the brothers, before the war. But for it to have been like post-war and to see them, like particularly seeing Megatron fighting Seekers who aren't Starscream, I was like, I'm intrigued by what's going on in here.
Yes.
You've got my attention.
But yeah, like, I didn't really have that many expectations going into it. I didn't even really know that much about the plot. Other than like a couple, I knew about some of the characters that showed up and who played them, but I really didn't know what, like, thematically Earthspark was going to be about.
Turns out it's about family.
Yeah, it turns out it's about, like, family, and it's kind of a diaspora story, and it's really interesting.
Fast 11 coming to you soon.
I think it's done extremely well.
Yeah.
For the most part. Like, I don't know. It feels like I haven't seen people talk about this show enough, almost, you know?
Yeah. I feel very similarly. The other thing I want to say is that it is extremely well written and the characters are great, and we have some questions about that, so we'll get more into the characters in a bit. It is gorgeous.
Yeah, it looks really... I was surprised. I was like...
It is probably the best looking Transformers show.
It's definitely the best looking... Like, I'm trying to think if it has any competition. No.
And it's interesting because there are others that I think are really great, that still look really good as examples of their time. Prime, you know, has a bit of a rough spot in the beginning, but it grows into itself pretty well. It still holds up, I think, pretty well. Animated, obviously, has a very distinct, fun style. What is so wonderful, Earthspark almost takes, like, the best of both of those, of both Prime and Animated's worlds, where it is using technological advances as well, if not better, than Prime did, but is still keeping, it's not striving for a hyper-realistic style that becomes, like, Uncanny Valley. It's still very cartoony in its art and distinctive and, like, full of character, and it looks it's so good to look at.
Yeah, I feel like, you know, CGI cartooning has come a really long way since Prime started out in, like, 2010. Because 2010, I mean, a lot of big CGI shows were just getting started. Like, that was just around the time Clone Wars, which is, I think, to me, is sort of the first big... Like, there had been CGI shows before Clone Wars, but I think Clone Wars was kind of a watershed... moment.
Yeah. Clone Wars was definitely the first one that looked good.
It grew into looking good. Early Clone Wars looks kind of rough and washed out, but as they went on, that show looked really good, and then it continued on into Rebels, which looks even better. And I think a lot of the general techniques for that stuff wasn't around when Prime was airing, and they weren't interested in making a show that looked good in 2015, when they vomited the nightmare creation called Robots in Disguise onto our screens.
Yeah. I mean, so, the hub had a budget of like $2.
Yes. And
two Canadian nickels, to be clear.
Cyberverse had a budget of $1, and that show looks pretty good for how limited
their resources were. Yeah, Cyberverse is not the best looking show, but for what they had to work with, they did a remarkable job.
And the less said about the Netflix series, the better.
Oh, well, we're going to have a lot to say about it very soon.
But I guess the difference between that and this is that this one isn't lit like the inside of Unicron's asshole, so you can, like, see stuff going on. But yeah, all of the designs are really good. I don't think there's a single design in the show that I found, like, ugly or unappealing. Everybody's looking good.
I will say that I wish there was a bit more diversity in terms of the human body shapes. Alex is really the only one who's not, like, skinny.
That's true. I wonder if we'll get more human characters in the future, because we didn't really have that many. And a lot of them are just, like, troops or whatever. Most of them are helmeted, even before they're goiting all over the place.
I mean, maybe they figured Meridian was enough body diversity for the entire human race.
He's very bodily diverse. We saw that.
Yeah. And by which we mean diverse bodies went into his.
Yeah. They never did get Hard Top's arm back. God damn it.
No, they did not.
But yeah, I agree. I think
that shit's gone forever.
There was a really good representation of body types, body diversity in the actual Cybertronian designs. But yeah, the humans could use a little bit more, which, you know.
And it is huge to have a main character who is a soldier and an amputee.
Yes.
That is huge representation.
Yeah. Is there anything else we want to talk about before we get into some character stuff and some questions here?
Just that body type notwithstanding, I am also very impressed with the diversity of the human character designs. And we'll talk about the diversity of the human character personalities, which are also no character. Like I said, basically, if you are named in this show, you have a distinct personality.
And arc, more importantly.
And
everyone gets their time. Everyone gets taken seriously, even if they're introduced as more like a joke or as like a one-note villain. Everybody gets their time in the sun, which I think is really important.
And even if they only show up for a couple of episodes or whatever, like everyone who is named here, no one who is named is a throwaway character. There are mob characters for sure. There are, you know, red shirts, the Goids and other
Those guys aren't characters. They don't have names. I don't count them.
Exactly. That's what I mean. Yeah. They're not named. But basically, if you get to the point where you're named, I can't remember the name of the Kijabi agent.
Oh, yeah. It's like said like
But once, like she has like a really distinct personality, and she's only named in one episode, and I think she has like two lines of dialogue. So every character who's basically, if you're named, you are not a throwaway character, and I think that is unbelievably remarkable.
Yeah, for sure. I also would like to just shout out all of the voice talent for this show. I think basically top to bottom, everyone's doing a really good job, especially all of the voice actors for the Terrans.
Yeah.
I need to shout out specifically Twitch's voice actress.
Yeah. Who is she again? Like, she does such a good job.
Catherine Cavari. Shout outs to Catherine Cavari. And I looked her up, and she plays Miss Marvel, Kamala Khan, and a lot of stuff. She's sort of the go-to Kamala Khan voice actor for kind of smaller things.
All right. I also think the other standout for me is Zian Fonte.
Is that Nightshade's voice actor?
Yeah, that's Nightshade. Yeah. Who is non-binary, but more importantly, brings a certain pretension to Nightshade that is so important to their character.
That stage the presence kind of like, is important.
The like soft lilting of their voice like this is like, I'm like, all right, that like they did a very good job with them. So,
and even a lot of the like higher level celebrity voice actors that they brought on for characters did not phone it in. I am a big fan of Alan Tudyk, Optimus Prime. Listeners will know that I'm a bit picky about Prime voices, but he did a really good job. He did something new and distinct with it that I really enjoyed.
And Danny Pudi is Bumblebee.
Oh my god, like, that was
a great get.
Yeah, he's amazing. Like I said,
Danny Pudi's Bumblebee is wonderful.
This is the first Bumblebee that I really liked. Like, I'm fine with most Bumblebees, but he's not really ever my favorite. But this Bumblebee, I really, really enjoyed as the show went on. And obviously, fucking Rory McCann's Megatron, excellent shit.
The Scottish on every third syllable.
Yeah, it's really good. everyone put in a really good job.
Oh yeah,
everyone.
And whoever plays Arcee as well, the slight twang for Arcee.
Yeah, let me get where is Arcee here? God, Arcee, I really need more Arcee in season 2. Give me more Arcee. Martha Marion is RC's voice actress.
Great stuff. Great voice acting in the show. Like, you're gonna hear very few complaints from us about this. Like,
it's one of the, I guess, yeah, we can talk about the rankings right before we get into the questions about this show. I will say personally, right, it's one of those things where, you know, I'm trying to balance recency bias and also the fact that the show is really good, and the fact that there are shows that I hold very near and dear to my heart because of my history with them. And for that reason, it's like it's number two under animated. Animated is still something that I really adore because of its I think it's quite good, and I think it holds its place in my personal Transformers history. But holy shit, Earthspark was good.
Yeah, I had like the same issue with Prime. I think Earthspark still might be my favorite now. And I'm trying to also like balance that recency bias, but I'm also trying to balance it against the nostalgia bias.
Yeah, that's the other thing.
Right, which you said, which is like the same way that animated was for you, the way you actually really got into Transformers as a franchise, as opposed to just like sort of watching it on repeat with Armada. Mm-hmm. That was it for me in Prime. And I still love Prime, and I'm really excited for us to get to season two, especially. And also see, but also season three.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, animated
and
Prime
it's no
are still both really good.
Yeah, and it's no G1. Let's be real, well, it's no G1.
Nobody can match perfection. Let's be real,
right? I mean, like the thing is, I still do believe that G1 season two is a perfect season of television. Like that's the thing. But I think all those things considered, Earthspark is both probably the most I've enjoyed myself, maybe with the exception of season two of G1 while watching a show, and objectively the best of it.
Yeah, for sure.
Like,
the show was really a blast to watch, and I definitely would like to watch it again at some point in the future.
I both enjoyed myself watching it. Eh, I pogged pretty hard at part of Prime, especially the ending of season two. That was the ending of season two. Prime gets pretty wild.
That's it. Really does. Holy yeah.
There was a lot of very fascinating fan art that came out during that time. But I probably enjoyed myself as much watching Earthspark, and it is objectively, I would say, the better show.
Yeah, I think if I was judging things just objectively, I would say Earthspark is better than animated in most ways, you know. But also when I think of it, it's like, well, the shows are made so differently now. Animated was still in that sort of episodic Teen Titans model where like you have your standalone episodes and then you have a little plot line running through it.
I would argue that Earthspark had a combination of that.
Yeah. I think it kept its central through line much more strongly than animated does, though. I think that
the first two seasons at least.
Yes. Animated season three I think is much more like linear, but Earthspark, even if it has your usual goofy side diversion episodes, it both the central plot line and more importantly the character arcs stay much more in the center and intact than in seasons one and two of animated.
Yeah. So I think my ranking now is Earthspark, Prime, G1 for my top three in that order.
My top three is probably animated, Earthspark. Oh, this is hard.
Between G1 and Prime?
I was thinking G1 and Beast Wars.
Really? All right.
I really like later Beast Wars.
Yeah, okay.
Season 2 and 3 of Beast Wars I quite enjoyed. And I wanted to rank Cybertron up there, but I can't in good conscience because that is maximum nostalgia factor. That is like, I watched that shit when I was 12 years old, and also the toy line kicked ass and the cartoon was okay. But like I recognize,
and the cartoon was okay.
Look, after what came before it, okay was a blessing. Okay was a gift from above. But I think I am gonna put animated Earthspark Beast Wars.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I mean it is for me the toss up between like G1 and animated is very close. But I think I enjoy myself watching G1 more.
Yeah, I mean
it is as per usual, G1 is not objectively as good as almost anything. But it is a bad show. It's a bad show, folks. But in terms of enjoyment, in terms of like pleasure value, huge. And I think I do enjoy myself watching G1 more than I enjoy myself watching animated. So
it's so insanely funny.
Yeah. Especially season two. Holy shit. You can like taste the cocaine.
Yeah. There's so much of it too. There's like fucking 30 episodes or something.
I mean, part of it was that they were snorting cocaine, and the other part of it was that they did not give a single shit.
No, they didn't fucking care.
That they were like, slap it and go. Let's go.
There's literally a guy who recycled all his scripts from old TMNT episodes that he also wrote.
Fucking phenomenal.
I'll have to remember who that guy is, but yeah, there's like four episodes of G1 season 2 that are basically identical to TMNT episodes from like a couple of years earlier or after. I can't remember which direction it goes in.
If it ain't broke, don't fix it. And if it is broke, also don't fix it. It's 1984, baby. There are no rules.
Pass the stimulants. I got 7 more episodes to write, motherfucker.
Yeah, we have 7 episodes to write today. 1 for every day this week. That's how quickly we're churning this shit out. All right, we have some questions.
That's right.
All right. Let me...
I like this first one because it very correctly makes an assumption.
It does, yes. Nero from Disney Minus asks, besides Twitch, who's your favorite character? You are correct. I think we can confidently say that she is both mine and Nero's favorite character in Earthspark.
She's so good. Like, everything about her is so fun and likable and engaging.
I think that's, like, the other thing for me about that, like, really pops Earthspark in, like, my first place slot. Not to, like...
Yeah, the cast is so good.
Yeah, not to, like, harp on our rankings again when we've already established them, but, like... This is a 40-year-old franchise. Mm-hmm. The idea of new life being breathed into it in any meaningful way was something that I'd basically given up on.
Yeah, I forgot. I wanted to talk about this. I totally forgot. Yeah, you were... This... To have a show... This show is basically entirely built on 5 completely new characters. Like,
and there is... all fucking... great.
Yeah, there is no basis in any other character or name or whatever for basically any of these guys.
And to do that for a franchise like Transformers, which has such a diehard fan base of like beloved characters and the fans who've loved them for decades, mm-hmm. is such a huge, massive risk. And if they hadn't knocked it out of the park, it would have ruined the show.
If the
no
Terrans
one would have watched it.
Sucked, if the Terrans were, like, cringe and annoying, this shit would have bombed so hard. It would have been unwatchable.
Worse than that, if the Terrans were just okay.
Yeah.
Honestly, if they were anything less than stellar, no one would have watched this. Because who cares? Why would I watch... If I watch... listen, there's a reason in the Star Trek shows that they keep bringing Spock's family into it. Okay? It's because everyone fucking loves Spock. You can do things. Like, Star Trek is about doing new things. But, like, they keep going back to old characters because Star Trek fans are insane.
Mm-hmm. You gotta have your Transformers... fucking... blorbos in there, no matter what year it is, no matter how thin you have to stretch the boundaries of space and time.
100%. Transformers is the exact same way, and for them to have done to have created a show centered on 5 new characters in a beloved franchise full of fans who notoriously hate new things. Mm-hmm. And to pull it off so incredibly well, to make such a compelling cast of characters that's more interesting not only in than any other Transformers series I've watched, than most animated shows I've watched, than most TV shows I've watched in general, is like a huge testament to the writer's capabilities. And I think like the thing that really launched me to putting Earthspark in first place.
Yeah, absolutely.
I never thought that I would watch a Transformer series where I cared more about any character than Starscream.
And yet, here we are.
And yet, if anything happened to Twitch, I'd kill everyone in this room and then myself. So,
actually answer Veer's question, I've been thinking about it. It's really hard because basically I really like every character in the show. I think probably my favorite character other than Twitch is Hashtag, I think.
That's a good answer. I think she's my third favorite character after Twitch. So I have two others who I like more.
Who are your others?
So my two others are, particularly because of the last episodes, Nightshade.
Mm-hmm.
Who is just like a huge MVP. They're a genius and they also beat ass. All right. Yeah. Like, go off. And they're a furry and they're non-binary. Come on now. It's too yummy. You're giving me too much. And the other is Dot.
Oh, yeah.
And that's also an insane thing to say, that one of my favorite characters in a Transformers show is a human.
Yeah, long have the humans been a tacked on, annoying part of a Transformers show. Nobody liked the squishies in basically any other show. Everyone was like, ah, boy, another fucking annoying kid to hang out with Optimus Prime.
I would say that probably the only kids who had any real fan presence that I saw were the Prime kids.
Yeah. Like, that's
everyone
about
hated
it.
Sorry. Everyone hated Sorry.
They did. I didn't mind her when I watched it, and obviously her story goes somewhere very different than most human
companions.
Yes,
they hated Sorry. They hated Sorry till they didn't.
I'm a bit... I like the Prime kids okay. I like Raph a lot. Miko, I'm hit or miss on, because let me tell you, sometimes she can be a little grating. Jack is...
a boy.
There. But all of the humans in this show are very fun. The Malto... like, once again, it's important that the Malto family be, like, a interesting group of characters. Otherwise, what the fuck are we even doing here?
Yeah.
Yeah, Hashtag, I think, for me, is my second, because she came on the scene. Immediately, she's the most physically striking, because she's, like, 12 feet tall for no fucking reason.
I think she's more than that.
She's, like, 20 feet tall for no fucking reason. And then, immediately, I think she gets the first focus episode, and her personality is so instantly, like, this is the one that I think... shows the strengths of Earthspark's character writing best, because Hashtag in lesser hands would have been completely unbearable. Hashtag would have been the fucking worst. And yet she's so well realized and well performed by her voice actor that I find she's so much fun.
She also slams people with trains using her mind.
Yeah, she hits people with trains.
What a huge brain move to be like, we're going to have a character whose main attack is hacking into trains and beating people with them.
Yeah. All right, what's Veer's next question here?
Yeah. Which Transformers character, human or Cybertronian, from previous TF Media would you like to show up next season?
Oh man, the list is so long. I want to see. The thing is, right? Another thing to continue discussing our rankings and the new characters. But the other thing that makes this show so good is that even most of the returning characters are such a new interpretation and portrayal of these like dusty old fucking same old guys that have been here since 1984. That it's really refreshing and like helps the new characters stand up even better.
While also not being so divorced from their original iterations to be unrecognizable.
Yeah, like it's not like fucking, you know, live Michael action. Bay movies. Yeah, where it's just like these are just names attached to fucking living car crashes.
Right.
To fucking Grubletron over here is technically Ratchet, but like you wouldn't know that unless we said it to you.
Right. Well, my old classic is always Ironhide, who I do think would pop off in this show. I think Jazz would be a super fun addition.
Oh, yeah, Jazz. I want Prowl. I want
I don't want that asshole anywhere near
the
show.
Okay, but here's the thing. I want Prowl because I think what this show would be very fun with. We have Ghost being this sort of evil organization. I want an Autobot who's straight up not good. I want an Autobot who technically is on their side and like never does anything that technically would count as being like against Optimus's orders or whatever, but like is just cynical and conniving and stuff. Like I want IDW, put IDW Prowl in this shit and see what happens.
We also talked about this before, but I think one of the things that, correct me if I'm wrong, but we both discussed this, both of us want to see a Terran Gestalt.
Yes, I want the fucking Maltobot combiner.
Yeah, so from that perspective, I would love to see either the Constructicons or maybe like the Aerial Bots.
Yeah.
Showing up, but like, I mean, the Combaticons are dead. The Combaticons are fucking screwed.
Look, it's fine. It's fine. Bruticus just has a bum leg. It's okay. There was a whole episode of G1 about how you could just take Brawl's brain out. Right. It's fine.
Right. Yeah. So he's fucking dead. And Swindle's to the wind. God willing, we won't see the other three.
I think it's some construct. I would like some Constructicons. Whatever, combiner.
The Stunticons would be hilarious. Can you imagine Motormaster and Spark? God. The Earth Spark?
Oh, God. I mean, we got Breakdown in here, so we got one of them.
That's right, we do Breakdown.
More. Yeah, I mean, I think if I'm thinking like group of characters and not just group of guys that turn into a big funny guy, I think it's got to be the Constructicons. I think a lot of combiner teams kind of get lost in their how many guys are part of them and become uninteresting. The Stunticons are kind of the only other exception to that, and the Combaticons. I don't know fucking dick all about the Technobots or the Terrorcons. I don't know fucking shit all about those guys. They just turn into dudes.
We could do the Aerial Bots. That could be interesting.
Oh, fuck. I just thought about fucking
the Protectobots.
No, I thought about Quintus Prime, Emberstone shit goes haywire and makes Monstructor. Yeah. I want a goopy combiner.
Well, I do think that there's going to be stuff that go if they do go the Gestalt route, it's going to be that they like come across the Enigma, and
that's hidden in a different cave. It's like a town over.
Yeah, exactly. Each of the primes chose the 13 chose a cave on Earth.
It's specifically
all
in Pennsylvania.
Pennsylvania.
Yeah. This one is a town over named after a different past Transformers companion. This is in fucking Chip Chase, Pennsylvania.
It's like how the Mormons, right? Like Garden of Eden was in Jackson County, Missouri.
That's right.
So I think that would be my pick, would be probably the Constructicons. And again, I think it's really would be really interesting is the same thing way we've seen with the Decepticons here, particularly now that Ghost has sort of been destroyed.
Yeah.
Is seeing Decepticons finally post-war, maybe coming back, and actual alliances between former Decepticons and former Autobots happening. Again, because it's very clear that the Quintessons are going to be the main villains moving forward. If not immediately, then at some point in the future. So I think the idea of Cybertronians uniting to fight the Quintessons is going to be very interesting.
Yeah, Cybertronians and humans, probably.
And all Earth inhabitants. Okay. Veer also asks, Earthspark, Optimus Prime, and Megatron are getting remarried. Who would they pick as their best man, flower girl, and any other wedding roles you want to throw in? Who would be the funniest options, regardless of whether or not it would be in character for OP slash Megatron to pick them for the roles? I mean, Bumblebee is best man.
Bumblebee definitely is best man.
And Alita's maid of honor.
Yes.
Alita's maid of honor, and she's also holding Optimus's other hand while the ceremony's going on.
That's right. They've already gotten remarried. Yes.
Yeah. Have you seen Challengers yet?
I have not.
Anyway, Daw obviously officiates.
Yeah, I think Twitch is the ring bearer. I don't know how many wedding roles there are left.
I think. Oh, God. She would look so cute in a little, like, Cybertronian tux.
Yes.
With the tailcoats.
Ah, it'd be so cute.
I love you, Twitch. I'm, like, getting a little emotional imagining her in a little tuxedo, actually. She's
literally so good.
She's just a little creature. Yeah, I think that would be my pick.
Yeah. Maid of Honor Alita holding onto his hand is really funny.
Yeah.
Starscream intends only to be the one who objects to the marriage. Objects,
yeah. Halfway through the ceremony, Alita also like shifts around so she can grab Megatron's other hand.
That's right.
And it's still just Obi and Megatron getting married, but she's holding both of their hands.
That's right.
She's in this relationship.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. From Sidewinder Sabrina, which character from previous shows you've gone through would be the silliest to replace the character, their character slash appear into Earthspark? I mean,
swap out Earthspark Megatron with Prime Megatron.
I was gonna say Armada Starscream with Earthspark Starscream.
Not that much would change, honestly.
Actually, like, yeah, Earthspark Starscream is pretty honorable, all things considered.
Yeah, like, we haven't seen any underhanded tactics from him so far.
He sucks more than Armada Starscream does.
He definitely is more Starscream-like.
Yeah, he certainly does not have the moral backbone that Armada Starscream seems to have. But, like, all that being said, like, he has a conscience, which is a lot more than most Starscreams have.
Armada Starscream would be very easily forcibly befriended by the Terrans. He would not be able to resist.
It would be over. It would be over instantaneously.
They could fix him.
They could fix it. Yeah, no. I mean, he would immediately join up with them and then just like hide whenever Megatron came in because he was like, if I see him, I'm going to destroy your home accidentally. Sorry about that.
If I see him, I cannot promise I will not immediately throw hands.
Yeah.
Swords coming out.
Who else would be funny? Previous shows we've gone through specifically, because I was about to say IDW Alita.
Oh my god.
But that's not a show, and we haven't gone through it on this show.
Similar badassness, but she tells Hashtag, all right, here's how you fucking tear someone's spark out with your bare hands.
Yeah, she's like, you know what makes great decoration? Skulls of your defeated enemies.
You want to see my skull throne? It's pretty cool.
Hey, I sit on a bunch of heads.
On my undead fucking titan? Hell yeah.
He's definitely who he says he is. Wink, wink, wink. Oh, you want to double check that? You should definitely mentally link with him. Do we have any city speakers? It'll go great.
Hey, Asha, you want to be a city speaker? Come on over. Sit on the skull chair. Link up with my Titan. It'll go fine.
Oh, that is another character. Like, again, if we're going to do that, I do think, like, getting some of the Metro Titans in would be, like...
Yeah.
Would be fun. And if we did that, I would want... I do think Hashtag as a city speaker is a great concept, and obviously you're going to do that, then you need to have Windblade.
Gotta have Windblade in there.
Gotta have Windblade in there.
It would be interesting to explore another facet of, like, Cybertronian spirituality, because there's obviously a little bit of that in the show, but, like, that's just a whole other thing.
I feel like Nightshade and Windblade would get up into some bonkers stuff. They would take, like...
Oh yeah,
Sativa, and fucking lose their minds together.
They're gonna meet the machine elves.
Sabrina also asks, who would be the most dangerous and who would be the most confused about the state of the world? Well, Alita. If we're allowed to do IDW, then IDW would, Alita would definitely be the most dangerous. If not, then
my idea of Prime
Megatron.
That's a dangerous fella. Have you seen how sharp he is, just generally?
Yeah.
It's nothing but edges.
Who would be the most confused about the state of the world? I'm trying to, like, maybe Prime Bumblebee?
He's just generally confused, I think. Just yeah. He's a little bit of a dumb guy. Anyone who's super adamant about the war would be like, what the fuck is happening?
Oh, you know what? Prime Wheeljack.
Yeah, oh my god.
the one who least resembles Wheeljack whatsoever.
Oh, he would hate this shit. He would be
not be happy
mad.
About it.
He would
Optimus and Megatron working together? Mm-mm.
Yeah, he would be like, nah, fuck this shit. I hate everything going on here.
Yeah. Okay. Sabrina also asks, so discussion has been had about the personal best and worst Transformers media, but are there any TF shows / media that you believe would be unsalvageable to go through for the podcast due to it being boring or something similar?
So,
yeah, I mean, we've talked about this in the Discord. Yeah. We will not be watching RID 2015.
It's too boring. It's too rote. I think similarly, we're not going to do the Rescue Bot shows because it's just there's nothing there for us.
Think
that one's for babies. We don't need to watch
I think there is a difference between like children's media and like infant media. There's a difference between Nickelodeon and Nick Jr., shall we say, right?
Yes.
Like our asses are not gonna be watching Blue's Clues, okay?
Absolutely not.
I am 32 American years old. I'm not gonna watch Rescue Bots. Similarly, we've made decisions about how we are defining on television, and for us that is like on a network company, which means that we are not doing
the War for Cybertron trilogy on Netflix.
Well, I consider Netflix to be a network company at this point.
Ah, understand. Yeah, we're not doing Prime Wars. That's the main thrust.
So,
fuck that shit.
Which means
Prime Wars. You can't
we're
make
not,
me do it.
We're not watching web series, which means that we're not going to be watching the Machinima Prime Wars.
You can't make me watch it. You see what you
listen,
see what I
Rooster
did?
Rooster Teeth is dead, okay? You can't make us watch it. Rooster Teeth is already dead. We outlived them, okay? So you can't make us watch it.
I can't believe they got Judd Nelson back for that shit to play Rodimus. I don't understand how that happened.
Well, it doesn't really matter because it's dead in the water.
Right.
And then Sabrina finally asked, who fucked up the hardest in this first season of Earthspark?
Optimus Prime.
I would give that to Karen.
Okay, well, yes, obviously. She fucked around and found out. I think Optimus made
Optimus made some really bad choices.
I think that his judgment can be somewhat clouded when it comes to who should be included in what things, and if it includes like Destiny stuff.
He's just a fucking lib. Like many Optimi, he's a fucking lib.
Perhaps you should have realized a bit sooner that this organization that he's working for is not the organization he thought it was. I mean, you know, 15 years too late.
Many an Optimi have thought that they can change the system from the inside and has never worked out well for any of them.
Nope.
So, let that be a lesson to everyone. You cannot change oppressive systems from the inside.
You know, maybe Baver's Optimus has a point. You know, maybe you just gotta go in there.
Maybe you just gotta behead someone.
Maybe you just gotta, you gotta fuck it up.
Yeah,
maybe the only corpse and start tearing people's heads in half with flaming hooks.
The only way, you gotta double tap. If you want to change the system, you gotta destroy the head.
And boy, does he love to do it.
Oh God, the psychosexual urges of Baver's Prime.
He heard that and really took it to heart.
Yeah.
You got, he's like, you got to cut off the head of the system. And he got so hard, he didn't hear the last part. So he just went on his way.
Yeah. Slipstream Sam asks, with Earthspark being a continuation of G1.
It's not. I want to stop you right there.
Yeah.
It is using G1 as like a, you know,
it's kinda... a continuation of G1 the way the Bumblebee 2018 is a continuation of G1.
It's a continuation of, it uses G1 to represent the past, to represent like filtered nostalgia. That's why all the comics have the G1 designs. In the, you know,
yeah.
None of those are real. Everyone is much more complicated than they are in those comics, as everyone learns. But it is,
G1 is a perfect series. What are you talking about? They're so well developed.
It is very much not a continuation of any like specific G1 continuity. It's obviously taking a lot of cues from G1, but I mean, Tarantulas is here, and there's a lot of other different like difference points. You know,
it's a continuation. It isn't. I would call it more an alternative G1 in the way that like IDW is.
Yeah, it's another sort of interpretation.
Like the
it's
IDW...
obviously in conversation with G1, but not. Yeah. It's not. I don't think its mission statement was, let's continue where G1 left off. There are things like that, but this isn't one of them.
First of all, if it really were a continuation, all these characters would be dead.
Yeah, everyone would be dead as fuck. And we'd be hanging out with Rodimus.
With Rodimus and Cup?
Which, may I remind you, all that shit takes place in 2006, and this show is, like, modern, so, you know, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not. That said, for the second half of this, what other continuities would you like to see be picked up with a similar time skip forward? I'm not particularly interested.
That happened once. You know what it was called? You know the show they did that with time skip forward, like like a decade or so? You want to know what it was called? It's called Robots in Disguise, and it came out in 2015, and nobody liked it.
Here's the thing. I don't think this isn't like Clone High or something where it's just like a single season of television that can be like rebooted or continued or whatever. Like, as a franchise, the entire thesis of Transformers, because it's to sell toys, let's not forget that, right? Like,
yeah.
It is a franchise that needs to be constantly reinventing itself so it can make more toys, so it can sell more toys, is that it is a franchise that expresses itself through a range of media and through a range of stories within that. So rather than skip forward, I would just as soon just start a new series.
Just give me animated season 4. That's actually all I want. I don't really want any continuation. I just want to go back in time and make animated season 4 a reality.
Yeah, I don't want like a time skip ahead. There are things that I would have liked to see more of. I mean, listen, the way that Prime ended was not ideal.
It was kind of a clusterfuck.
Yeah, the way that like if Prime had been given more time to end better, that would have been great. But like, I don't want it to skip ahead 10 years. I want it to have, like, the time it needed to end properly.
I don't want them to make a new show that's like, and here, we're doing Prime, and it's like, well, I don't care. Why are you doing that?
Right.
See,
it's like...
The part of this franchise where that actually exists is the toy line. That's why the Transformers Legacy toy line exists, because you're getting all of these new interpretations of old characters and the figures, like all of the new... highly detailed Armada characters and all that stuff. Like, it's not for the shows to do, it's for the like collector oriented toy lines to do.
And frankly, they've kind of fucked themselves now, because anything that comes after Earthspark has to be as good as Earthspark. It won't be, probably, which will be disappointing. It really is, like, very hopeful, though, because, like, you, like, to see something, a franchise that's 40 years old and so well-beloved or whatever, like, breathing, like, actually successfully breathing new life and proving that this can be done, that you can stay true to what the franchise is while still innovating. And, like, you know, the entire lens of it, like, this was obviously a show or a spark that was designed with a much stronger, not to be woke or whatever, DEI lens than any Transformers show before. Like, representation was obviously something that was hugely important to both include and get right in this show, which I don't think has actually ever been the case in Transformers. Why would it? It's a show about robots that turn into cars. But the idea that you can actually take something as old as and, like, ingrained into, like, not just fan culture, but in, like, the entire, like, pop culture zeitgeist and, like, do something new and modern and innovative and, like, keep up with the times has been, like, an incredibly hopeful thing for me to see, not just for Transformers, but for media in general.
Yeah.
Particularly since we seem trapped in not coming up with new IPs anymore and just recycling.
We're trapped in the cycle, so we might as well make the cycle fun. If we can't break out of IP Samsara, you know, and we never will.
Exactly.
We might as well make the wheel fun to ride.
If you meet the IP Buddha, kill the IP Buddha.
We must make more Ghostbusters movies with no jokes in it, goddammit.
It's such a serious... That was a serious ghost blow job, Dan Aykroyd got. Okay? That was artistic sex.
It was really important when they talked about that guy's dick.
Okay.
I can't believe it. I'm good.
Nero from Disney Viewer asks again, besides Megatron, which Decepticons would you like to be a member of the core Autobot team in any future series? I mean, Starscream, always.
Yeah, Starscream. I've already said Thundercracker.
Honestly, like, throw a dart at the Seekers and you'll find someone that I think would be a very good Autobot.
I want to really think about who would be a fun, like...
Actual
real Decepticon guy joins the Autobots, like, not a double agent, not a traitor.
You know, I don't know who my real answer is.
Who's
the only character I think who has, like, sort of a remote, like, moral backbone of the Decepticons? Really? Well, okay, Soundwave, first of all. The betrayal arc from Soundwave would be so choice.
Oh my god.
Yeah, so Soundwave, first of all, but actually Hook.
That would be interesting. Like, yeah, one of the Combiner team members.
Yeah. Hook, you don't really see much of Hook anywhere besides in G1. I mean, you get him in animated, but, like, you know. Hook is not a particularly moral character, but he does show that he cares about his patients. He has professional integrity, if nothing else. And I think him getting to a point in the war where he's like, you know what, actually, fuck this, I can't do this anymore, would be, like, super interesting.
Yeah. God, Soundwave really would be juicy, though.
It is Soundwave, though. Like, Soundwave, the betrayal arc on Soundwave would be so juicy. For Soundwave to betray the Decepticons and not Starscream, ooh!
It's like, you've lost your way. This is not what I joined. I have to stop you.
And
even if it means joining the Autobots.
Yeah, exactly. And actually, like, some of my favorite... Starscream girly the whole way, but some of my favorite interpretations of Starscream are ones where, like... And this is particularly in Prime, but where he and Soundwave together have been like, Megatron has lost the plot.
Yeah.
And I think, like... The idea of Megatron fucking up so badly that... And we kind of get that in Earthspark, too, just on the opposite side.
Yeah, but with Soundwave, it is more ideological. With Starscream, it's more personal. Which I also think is...
Not sure about that in Earthspark.
There's definitely a little bit of personnel beef with Soundwave. But I also... I think it's like...
And I think there's also ideological stuff with Starscream. I think it's a combination for both of them. I think you're right that in Earthspark it is still more ideological for Soundwave and personal for Starscream. But I don't think, unlike in other series, like particularly in IDW or whatever, but I think it is much more mixed for both of them.
Yeah.
And I think I would love to see, like, the two of them defect together to be like, nope, this is it. We have to draw the line.
Yeah, and then who is Megatron left with? Fucking Shockwave.
Yeah. Good luck, bud. Yeah, Shockwave and Nightbird. Hey, she's not so hot.
Hey.
She's not so hot!
Veer also asks, could a TF series that has it where Starscream has fallen ask for a sin to beating the active leader of the Autobot team on Earth work, or would it fall apart after the first 5 minutes?
I think I know exactly how this would work.
Yeah.
It would have to be like a post-apocalyptic Megatron has won situation. And Starscream has, like, Optimus Prime is dead. Ultra Magnus is dead. The Autobots are scattered. Starscream has ended up as the leader of the Resistance. Is anybody particularly happy about this? No, other than Starscream. And even then, he's probably not that happy about it, because frankly, being a leader of the Resistance, you don't get any thrones. You don't get anything cool. Prowl is there talking your ear off about shit. He's having a terrible time, but I could see that happening. Of like,
so
an alliance of almost convenience.
So I don't think it works, because I don't think there is any Transformer series that works where Optimus is not the leader of the Autobots.
Right. I mean, that's the thing, right? Who else could lead them but him? They tried in season 3. It didn't work. It didn't go very well. Nobody liked it. Everyone was who is Rodimus Prime? In season 3 of G1, who the fuck is this Rodimus Prime guy? I want my dad, Optimus Prime, back.
I don't think that works. For me, personally. Like, that is... And it particularly doesn't work for Optimus to not be the leader and a former Decepticon to be instead.
Yeah, it depends on how you define... How defined the Autobots are as an organization, I guess. Yeah.
But yeah, that doesn't work for me.
Like, Starscream... Like, I don't think Armada Starscream could have led the Autobots. Yeah.
Yeah, Armada is probably the only one I could imagine coming close.
Yeah.
And then our last question from Short Scream Chat. Who's the most out-of-left-field Transformers character who could show up in Season 2 of Earthspark? Oh, shit.
I mean, just literally pull a fucking name out of a hat. They like to do that. Fucking Hardtop is out of left field. Hardtop has literally never been in a fucking anything before.
You know what? I'm going to say this because I do think it'd be out of left field, but based on where the show's getting, less out of left field than it could have been, Wreck-Gar.
Oh, fuck. Oh, he'd have so much more TV to watch.
But if we're going if we're going towards the Quintessons, there's no reason that the Junkions won't be involved as well.
Most out of left field, I think... See, I would have said a Beast Wars character, but we have precedent.
Sorry, I'm changing my answer. Hover.
Oh, no. Oh, no. No, he won't. Huffer won't do it because the show's too woke. He refuses to work on set.
You can't have white Transformers anymore because of woke.
You can't have white Transformers anymore because of wokeness.
They include Jazz and he leaves immediately.
No, hang on, Jazz. It's different. Let me explain.
I have black-coated friends. I'm not racist. I talk to Blaster sometimes.
No, I try not to. Yeah, sometimes I end up talking to him.
The return of beloved podcast character, anti-woke Huffer.
You can't say that, white baby.
Tidal Wave, that's my answer. Bring the big boy
back.
Yeah,
Tidal Wave would be a big... I mean, like, I was also thinking, like, Beachcomber or something. Like, what the fuck are you doing here, dude?
Beachcomber, Nightshade, and Windblade all hanging out in a fucking yurt.
In a tantric circle?
Yeah. Just seeing the fucking universe, man.
Oh, God. Yeah, I mean, like, Beachcomber didn't do anything ever. Power Glide!
Yeah, Sea Spray. Any of the, like, season two guys really, who didn't do like, anything.
Yeah, the really, like, C-listers over here.
Yeah, one
in
of...
season two.
One of, like, Overkill or Beastbox. One of Soundwave's cassettes who never show up in anything. Who were made in, like, 1987.
K-On, but just K-On. Not okay, Tarn, not any of the other DJD, just K-On.
Who's the guy with the spike face? Put him in there.
Oh, that's Vos.
Yeah, put Vos in there.
Yeah, where am I? Oh, God. Vos would be interesting with the Seekers. But.
Yeah. Yeah, Tidal Wave. Put him in there. Fuck it.
Anyway.
Boat.
Omega yeah, Tidal Supreme. Wave versus Beachcomber fight.
Well, man, I'm going to need a really big bong for you, big fella. Hang on, I'll be right back.
God
I think
almighty.
I got one in my I think I got one in my basement for you, man.
Peace and love on planet Earth.
My mother never loved me very much. Oh man, I feel you. Hug it out, hug it out, big guy.
I still think Huffer would be the most out of left field. Huffer would be the most out of left field in any media, including G1.
Yeah, absolutely.
Huffer, in a show that was written on a whole lot of cocaine, Huffer did not fit in.
No. Huffer or Gears. Like, either one of those fucking guys who just do nothing but complain.
Gears at least beats ass.
Yeah.
And there's, like, a Gears episode, remember?
There's the one where they force him to, they, like, put a chip in his brain that makes him be happy, even though he still complains all the time.
Yeah. They put bugs in him. They put bugs in him.
Put Windcharger in the show so he can do some fucked up shit with magnets. Have you
seen
Windcharger?
But he's not as out of left field.
That's true. Carnivac. Like, we just name guys who have been in basically nothing.
Just go to a random page on the TF wiki.
Yeah, just like let me just hit a random fucking G1 character here. Fucking Dreadwind. The combined, like, plane form of Darkwing and Dreadwind is a character. Double Dealer. Oh my god.
Octane.
I'm talking about Octane. Stole an episode from fucking Blitzwing. By the way, you can't call him Octane or he's fucking Tankor.
That's stupid. It's Octane. It's Octane and he's full of ghosts.
He is full of ghosts.
All right. That's all our questions. Earthspark whipped ass. I'm really sad so that good. We finished it. Like, I'm...
Give me more.
Yeah, I can't wait for season two of the show to come out. I can't wait to, like, watch it as it's coming out.
Yeah.
Do you want to tell us what incredible show we'll be watching next, friend?
You know, we've had it really good. We had a lot. We had a good stretch of some really fun shows recently. All like pretty much back to back, like just really fun stuff. Just some great television watching. I've decided that we need a reminder of the pain and the evils that exist in this franchise. And so I am subjecting all of you, but mostly me and Audrey, to. Either 51 or 52, depending on what language you watch it in, episodes of pure, unadulterated, ugly-ass, tedious nonsense. That's right, I am choosing Transformers Energon as our next series.
Yippee!
This was the 20th anniversary show for Transformers. Used to be widely regarded as the worst Transformers show of all time before Machinima took a big fat dump on the whole internet.
Well, I mean, there's also like Rescue Bots and Red 2015.
Okay, but Rescue Bots is like, if it's a baby show, I'm sure it's fine as a baby show. Energon, number one, I must stress, This is an ugly show. These models can barely walk, let alone emote. The plotting, especially in the dub, is dense, to say the least. If one was being kind, one might say dense. If one was being unkind, one might say nonsense.
So that Nero
they
has...
forgore.
Yeah, Nero has stated a very funny joke that they think I'm going to watch this dubbed.
I'm swapping it up. I'm going to be watching Super Link, and Audra's going to be watching the American dub of Transformers Energon.
Remains to be seen.
For however long it goes.
I will watch the first two episodes in the dub. Beyond that, I make no promises.
Now look. The first two episodes of the dub are probably the best two episodes of the dub. It's all downhill from there. So it's not that it's not actually that good of a value judgment. It's okay. So,
but for my
knows,
time, it's a great value judgment.
Look, it's either going to be you watch one of the most insanely slipshod dub productions of all time, or you're bored to fucking tears like me watching Transformers Super Link, which isn't that much better. It's sensible. It's functional, but boy howdy, I am not thrilled. But yeah, everyone, we're familiar with Armada. I think Armada, we talked about it, it's got its flaws.
A
lot of flaws.
It's good enough to get both of us into Transformers.
But it's fun, and I think if you're talking about Micron Legend, I think it's pretty good. And even Armada, the English dub, got it together towards the end. Energon goes in reverse, where it starts out fine, and it... Okay, you have to understand, if you don't know anything about Transformers Energon, they misspelled titles of episodes on broadcast television twice for different episodes. They made spelling errors in the title. They forgot to dub one.
Okay, so you know that face that Kermit the Frog makes when they just sort of crumple the hand inside of him? That's the expression on my face right now.
This is what you're feeling right now. We're in the shit. This is perhaps rock bottom, the lowest of the low.
How bad the Netflix series is.
It might be bad in a different way.
But you know what? It'll be shorter.
It will be mercifully shorter. That show, in its totality, all three seasons is 18 episodes. Like I said, this fucking thing is 52 episodes long of tedium and terrible dubbing and the worst animation you've ever seen in your fucking life. And cars driving in space and the same expression to represent every single emotion.
Can't wait. So good.
I'm hurting everyone. I'm hurting us all. I'm gripping the sword of Damocles above my head, and I'm doing Link's spin attack.
See, I bring shows like Cyberverse that Nero's never seen, and they're not like the best shows, but they're fine. And this is what they bring me.
I'm going to
this is how they treat me.
I drop like a fucking fetid rabbit corpse at your feet and kick it towards like, huh? Huh? You like this?
It's like coming to a white elephant exchange and farting into a box.
One of the main characters in the dub is voiced by the guy who voices Ed from Ed, Edd n Eddy.
Cool. Great. That'll be an enjoyable voice to listen to for...
He's
30 fucking episodes.
Yeah, he's like the main companion to the main human character, who, by the way, sucks ass.
Fantastic.
All right. So next, we're going to take our break. We're going to give everyone time to prepare themselves to meditate on the mountaintop, to say goodbye to everybody, because we're going into hell. We're diving straight into it.
And this Friday/Saturday of this episode coming up, we will be watching Rise of the Beasts, right?
Yep.
Yeah. So stay tuned for info on that, which probably will be out by the time this episode is. But if it's not, stay tuned for info on that.
Oh, the show's bad.
Yeah, I'm not looking forward to this. I don't like when my podcast feels like work. And that's what we have, like, several months ahead of us.
This is going to feel like penance. We're putting on a hair shirt, and the hair shirt has the Transformers Energon logo.
Yeah, I'm, like, Jewish. The idea of penance doesn't really register with me. It's not, like, a thing we do.
Just imagine getting punched in the face. I don't know. It's bad. It's, but really slowly.
It still hurts the same amount, but it takes exactly a long time.
It's protracted too, so it hurts the same amount over whatever 3 months or whatever. Oh boy.
Oh well, I'll be gone for at least 2 weeks of that. Thank God.
That's right. Well, we've been prime cuts. You can flee if you want, but the march of Transformers Energon is inexorable. You can join our Discord.
I mean, it'll probably be an extremely funny 3 months for the listeners. I imagine the pain in our voices will be tangible.
It's gonna be something else. I think this is gonna go down as a legendary season of Prime Cuts. Who knows how we're gonna come out of the other end even more appreciative of Earthspark, you know? It's like, wow. We just didn't know how good we had it.
Until someone put a hot shit on my dinner plate and asked me to eat it.
Yeah, like after a delicious 5-course meal, perfectly prepared, beautifully plated, you are handed a bowl of literal dog shit. I'm Nero. You can find me on Twitter at DragonSmoocher, on co-host at DragonSnuggler, on Tumblr at Cyclonus of the Five at the end. Talk Cycles, Radio Free Heidelin, you know the deal.
I'm Audrey. You can find me on Tumblr, Twitter, co-host of Blue Sky, Optimal on Prime. That's my funny robot internet joke. You can also listen to the other podcast I do, which is called Pot of Greed. That's the one that I'm not on right now. That's one is about Yu-Gi-Oh! I've also been cast in a radio drama. It's called The Disappearances of Lydia Fontaine. Our website for that is now live. It is lydiadisappears.com, I believe. Let me make sure that is correct. I should have this. Yes, it is lydiadisappears.com. You can go there. The Kickstarter to fund the pilot is now available to listen to on that website. And information about the Kickstarter to fund the rest of the season will be coming out in a couple weeks in late May. So please do stay tuned for that.
Wahoo! Exciting.
Yes, it is very exciting. It is like a joint venture with a lot of very cool people. It's written, directed and produced by Sarah McClintock of Pot of Greed fame. It's written by Tom and Nina from Mobile Suit Breakdown. We are collaborating with Moonshot, host. There are people from all across a bunch of very cool podcast networks. It's going to be a very cool show. I'm really excited that it's finally at a place where we can talk about it.
On the episode where we announced that we're plunging ourselves into hell for 2 months.
You know what? There's got to be something to give me hope.
At the other end of the tunnel.
At the end of the title is The Disappearances of Lydia Fontaine. That is, you can see it now on lydiadisappears.com. Listen to the first episode. And please do stay tuned for more information about our Kickstarter. It's exciting stuff.
Until next time,
yeah.
I am going to wave my arms and legs to slide unconvincingly across the animation cell, transform and roll out.
I'm going to disappear into the woods so I never have to record this podcast again.
You can't escape!
Peach!
Peach!